Hope your Wednesday is off to a good start, unlike this segment. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic, Trey Wingo here as we continue to figure out exactly what's going on in the NBA, and more importantly, Mike, maybe what is going on in college basketball.
Boy, oh boy.
So with that as a backdrop, who better to talk to than our next guest? You know him, you love him, our basketball analyst, played in the NBA, played
hey
at
guys.
Duke, Jay Williams.
I miss you guys.
Jay,
I
how are you,
guys.
Buddy?
I was just saying before, Trey, I really miss you guys. You know, I know I'm not in Bristol a lot, but man, it's good to be back in the fold. Thanks for having me on the show.
It is a delight to have you with us.
We miss you as well. We haven't had you on for so long, we decided to bring you on when Duke gave up 113 points.
Of course. You know, I'm not emotional, Mike. It's okay. That's cool.
Jay, we were joking earlier that, you know, maybe last night was a wake-up call for Duke, and then we were like, well, wasn't North Carolina State? And if Duke was an iPhone, how many alarms would they actually have to need the wake-up calls to get themselves going?
Yeah, right now you would see just the circling motion because it would say buffering because Coach K is trying to figure out what the hell is going on. You know, it's it broke my heart watching them play last night. First off, a lot of respect to Brandon Childress, guys. I've known this kid for a long time. I'm so happy to see him shine on a glorious stage like that, and he's been through a lot for Wake. But when you look at this Duke team, people question offensively whether they can, you know, score at high clips, right? That was the question. Trey Jones, offensively, could they score? Defensively, they're considered to be great. And now you look at their last two road losses to NC State. They gave up 96 points this game, obviously, of 113. The one thing that you're going to see Coach K really focus on with this team is their effort, right? Last year, not only did you have star power with those guys, with Zion and R.J. Barrett and Cam Reddish, but they showed you effort defensively. This year's team may not have the same cachet as it relates to names, but their effort is something that you shouldn't have to teach. It should be there each and every day. And I think as you learn how to play for Coach K as a freshman, to sustain that type of effort to be great every single night defensively is a challenge, not only physically, but psychologically, because you've been so used to dominating people offensively in high school, you don't have to worry about effort defensively. And now we're seeing their youth come out on the road against a team that is at the bottom of the ACC.
So going into not only conference tournaments, but March Madness as well, Jay, if you have a team that's struggling to score or struggling on defense, which is easier to, I'm not going to say fix because it's going to be tough to fix it late, but manipulate to your benefit for the tournament?
I would say, you know, look, defense travels, if you've ever heard that terminology before. So I would say a team that is kind of hot and cold offensively, because I think you can always hit. Remember, Golic, you know, we get to the tournament, you have a lot of these teams that sometimes they get hot at the right time, and all of a sudden one guy hasn't seen the ball go in for the past 10 games, and all of a sudden he's shooting 55% from the field. We've seen it multiple times. So I'd rather have the offensive woes kind of coming into it than questioning where my team is defensively as it relates to a standard of effort that we get each and every night.
Jay Williams brought to you on the show by Wendy's, proud sponsor of the 2020 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year Award. And Jay, I think what we're seeing with Duke recently in losses to North Carolina State and last night in double overtime to Wake Forest is sort of symptomatic of what college basketball has been this year. Outside of Scott Drew's, what, 5 or 6 week run at Baylor as the number one team in the country, why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
it certainly seems like it's been a year where anybody can take this thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, you saw it the other day when Gonzaga lost on the road, you know, to BYU. You saw it when Baylor lost at home to Kansas. I still think there is an upper echelon within college basketball. I think Kansas, Baylor, I still think the Zags are in that conversation. I still think Duke has a chance. Look, guys, we talk about this all the time, and people always stop me randomly on the streets. Who are you taking to win the whole thing? Let's be realistic. It depends upon the bracket. It depends upon regions. When we start seeing these regions, where seeding is, that has a lot to say on whether a team can get to the Final Four depending upon their path or not. So let's wait until we get to Selection Sunday, and then I think we can have a clearer path to understand who is the best shot from some of these elite teams to actually win it.
Talking to Jay Williams, our ESPN basketball analyst and former student athlete at Duke. So rather than have you break down all 130.
Or Golic, you could say athlete, student. It's okay. We can get into that conversation another
or,
time.
Oh,
you
know what? Yeah, here we
or
go.
We, you know, just, or we could just say athlete if you want.
That's fine. That works too.
instead of you having you break down all 113 points that your team gave up last night, we'll move to the NBA and save you from that. So we had our first matchup, Zion and LeBron, you know, one of, and everybody, I'm sure, hoping that the Pelicans can pull out that eighth slot so we see them in L.A. in the first round of the playoffs. But just your initial impressions of those two the first time against one another.
You know, it's Golic, from a sheer talent perspective, I don't think these teams are that far off. Now, as it relates to having two top five players on the same team in LeBron and AD, I understand that's a differentiator. As it relates to game management and the way you saw LeBron really kind of extend the lead in the fourth quarter in the last 5 or 6 minutes, I don't think the Pelicans have that experience. But when you think about where Brandon Ingram is, he's an all-star. When you think about where Zion is, not actually needing the ball to be effective, right? Just off dunks and putbacks and energy. Lonzo Ball is shooting a career-best three-point shooting percentage. This team has the tools. It looks like they belong in the playoff conversation, okay? They belong in the conversation because of talent. And I also think that between this LeBron and Zion matchup, that Zion is going to be eventually one of the faces of the NBA. Jason Tatum's in that conversation. Ja Morant's in that conversation. Luka Doncic. I think the NBA is in the great hands. But LeBron is not willing to pass the torch yet, guys. And I think you saw that. I think we see, again, how special of a player LeBron James is at his age, that he can have 40. And, you know, we got into this debate the other day on First Take where Stephen A. is like, it's not a statement game that they beat the Celtics without, you know, Kemba Walker. And I said, hold on a second. You know, considering that you have Kobe Bryant's memorial the next day, considering the fact that you have this weight that is on LeBron James and his team, Jason Tatum goes off in the Staples Center, drops 40-plus points, right? The first Celtics player to do it since Paul Pierce. And LeBron hits a fadeaway shot in that moment that kind of reminds you of how Kobe would have made that shot. I think we're seeing a next-level LeBron James, too, that's special to watch. And I like that he really was dominant last night to show you that I'm still here and I'm still making noise.
All right, so along the lines of the comparison of the two, Zion has played 13 games. What are we at, nine straight of over 20?
Nine straight, 25 straight, at least 25.
So I heard people, and I've heard others say this, and I'm just going to flat out ask you. Others have said Zion, even though he's played 13 games, the way he's playing, he looks better as a rookie than LeBron James looked as a rookie.
Hell no. No. No.
Wouldn't me.
No. No, I know. You know, I think sometimes due to social media, and I've been victim of this sometimes as well, guys, you get caught in the moment, right? And if you go back and if you watch LeBron James had 25 points his first game, his rookie year. I think he averaged 21, 7, and 6. But Zion is special. I'm not saying that Zion isn't special. I mean, you're asking to compare the elite of the elite. But I also don't want people to forget how elite LeBron James is. Zion is not being asked to put the ball in his hands and to make every play for this team. Like, the IQ of LeBron James at the age of 19 years old to literally be the guy that had to be demonstrative in all these different plays is drastically different responsibility-wise than what Zion had his rookie year. Zion, we had this great line for Zion. Get in where you fit in, right? You saw last night off passes from Jrue Holiday, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram. He had a lot of dunks at the rim. But you're not saying, hey, Zion, we're going to put you in an isolated situation 30 times throughout the game, and I want you to get me 25 and 13 that way. He's getting at least a good, you know, 15, 16 points off rim runs and things in transition, and they are special. But LeBron James is a different kind of special, guys. And sometimes I think we take that for granted because we get lost in the hype of what Zion brings to the table.
Yeah,
and I still take LeBron James.
I agree with you. He wanted to remind us that last night, and that's why he showed out the way he did. Jay Williams exactly. With us this morning. Let's move to the East because I think the Bucks are doing things that are on pace with some of the great teams we've ever seen. Warriors team that went all the way to the finals and then LeBron and company upset them, and the Jordan Bulls of 95-96 that won plus 70. They're now 50-8.
They're 50-8,
and nobody talks about them. Do we see them at this level, or are we right to say, yeah, but with this squad?
You can say, yeah, but. I honestly, I don't care. I don't care. You know, it's been one of the most frustrating things I have in my, you know, and it's, look, first class problems when you say this is the most frustrating thing I have in my life. From a basketball purist perspective, guys, like that was, we may have watched the Eastern Conference Finals last night.
Right.
We watched two of the two best coached teams in the league. It was a very high execution level IQ game last night. And how about this? This was a back-to-back for the Bucks. Their game last night went into overtime. Now, granted, it was against the Washington Wizards. And you say, who cares, Jay? It's the Washington Wizards. Well, have you been paying attention to what Bradley Beal's been doing? He had back-to-back 50-plus point games, guys. So you come off winning that game, right? When it can be easy for the Bucks to say, don't worry, we still have number one seed locked up. But they want to win that game. They win that game. And then they go to the second place team, coached by maybe the best coach in basketball right now, Nick Nurse, and a team that's playing at a very high clip. And they beat them on the road, right? After the Drake shenanigans with the WWE belts and all these other things going on. Like, they still find a way to out-execute this game. It was amazing. Like, this team has a chance to be incredibly special. And you said it, Trey. Maybe one of three teams to ever get 70-plus wins. Now, I know a lot will be staked upon them winning the whole thing. But that still doesn't discredit the fact that they have 50 wins. And we're not even in March yet. 50 wins. That's incredible.
It absolutely is. And again, 50 wins in 58 games. They're the seventh team to do that. All of the six at least made it to the NBA Finals. So we'll see what happens there. Hey, let's do this again real soon.
Man, it was great talking to you. Duke gave up 113 points.
Yeah, look, Golic, I would love to be back on the show. Maybe after a Duke win, maybe next time to kind of lighten the mood.
No,
not
probably
to see
not.
Me angry, Trey. No. You know, it's
all right. Okay. So we'll schedule in for November then, no. When Duke has another.
No,
we're kidding.
After the next Duke wins, we're going to bring Billis on. Not you. So.
No, that's that. Now you're just being mean.
Golic, ask you a question, Golic. What school did you go to?
That'd be Notre Dame.
Oh, I didn't see a lot of basketball highlights for Notre Dame. Trey, are you guys doing any highlights for Notre Dame basketball?
Decidedly not.
Did anybody okay. not yeah, kill just... his mic yet? Turn his mic off. Goodbye, Jay.
Goodbye. See you, brother. Talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
That's great. Jay Williams, always good to talk with him. We'll see what happens going forward. But I like what he said there. Like, let's appreciate what we're seeing from not only LeBron, but also from Milwaukee. Because they're doing things that are ridiculous.
They really are.
Don't talk about them enough. So again, but that's on them to get where they couldn't get a year ago, right. At least get back to the NBA Finals. Coming up, it's all but a done deal, is it, in the NFL? We'll talk to someone who has the inside skinny on that. We'll get to that after this.
Stretch.
So what does Shefty think?
I think Shefty thinks Joe Burrow is going number one in the draft. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Real quickly, before we get to our next guest at the Combine, the news out of the Combine last night that the NFLPA is acknowledging this deal and going forward. Dan Graziano tweeted not too long ago, was just told the full player vote won't be for a couple of weeks as the NFLPA attorneys have to draft the document
get form, it out there, get it out. Again, they're 2,000 plus players that have to look at this thing, let them digest it as much as they're going to, and then go from there.
So
then DocuSign.
Yeah, so then you wonder if after a couple of week gestation period, will they be like, wait a minute. I hope that's not the case.
No, they won't.
So we'll see what happens going forward with the vote. But, of course, that was the backdrop of what's really going on in Indy, which is the Combine. And we're delighted to be joined now from Indy and the Combine by our own Todd McShay, our draft expert, college football, you name it, he does it. Todd, thanks for being with us this morning.
It
was not terrible. I'm not going to lie to you.
How was Hawaii, you jerk, is the first line
in
from
case
Todd McShay.
It's
like 17 degrees. Yeah. It's a mix of rain and snow here. So just in case you were wondering.
Yeah, I'll be out there Friday for the show we're doing on ABC.
Wow.
Right. So it was hand-sized season yesterday. Oh, we got through that. And Joe seemed to sort of lance the boil that he wouldn't play for the Bengals. But I've heard you say this before, and I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. You believe that the skill set that Tua has may translate better to the NFL than Joe. Do you think people in Cincinnati feel that way?
I don't. I think what I've said before is if you have a crystal ball and promise me 10 years of health, for both of these quarterbacks, I would take Tua over Joe, but it would be difficult. But knowing what we know about the durability and going back the last 10 years and seven quarterbacks drafted in the first round that have been injured, in college have gone on to have injuries in the NFL as well, like Sam Bradford, RG3. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Carson Wentz is a great example. And it's not necessarily the same injury. Durability is a huge thing. Your boy always used to say availability is the most important ability. And Herm Edwards was always right. And you got to have your quarterback on the field. So to me, as much as I love Tua, and I think he's a better quarterback when they're both 100%, I would take Joe Burrow if I'm Cincinnati sitting at number one, and I wouldn't even think about it. It would be so easy at this point because of the durability aspect.
So Todd, let's stick with that for a minute because we know two things about Tua. When he's healthy, he's great, but he's had trouble staying healthy. It's not just the hip. It's the two ankle sprains that he's had surgery on, which everybody says will make his ankles more stable, but he still had two ankle surgeries. Then he had the lingering knee issue. How much of a concern do you believe, not just the hip itself, but the body of work on his body is going to be something that'll be discussed a lot?
Because of history, I've learned to basically acknowledge the fact that if you're a quarterback and you're a top pick and you're getting injured in college, you're going to get injured in the NFL. And so there is definitely something to that. Now, Deshaun Watson, you know, he's been mostly healthy his career, but he suffered a season-ending injury at one point. So you have to look at it, and I was there that game, and I watched him get injured. I thought he broke his nose. But Tua wound up, when they stood him up, his hip injury, it's significant, and it's going to take a while. Now, he says on March 9th he's hoping to get cleared. On April 9th he's hoping to have a pro day. I'm not sure what he's trying to accomplish between now and then, but the bottom line is it's progressing properly. Everyone in the league seems to be happy with the way it's progressing. But at the end of the day, if you have similar grades on these two quarterbacks, you have to take Joe Burrow over Tua because of the history and the trends and what everything tells you as an evaluator.
Talking to Todd McShay, our NFL draft expert and analyst, and he is in Indy for the Combine right now. You know, we sit there, and free agency hasn't played out for some of the quarterbacks, so that's still going to drop some dominoes. But we know how the quarterback position is evaluated in the NFL and how it's magnified. And we've heard David Gettleman, the GM for the Giants, said they're open for business at four. Do you expect some moves, because there are plenty of teams behind them that could use a quarterback, to try and make some moves to get up to get a quarterback?
Mike, this is the wild part of this entire, you know, pre-draft process. Obviously, we have the best free agency quarterback class that we've ever had. And then we have this game of chicken that's going on. You've got Miami that have six picks in the top 70 overall. Five in the first two rounds, three in the first round. No team is more equipped, and no team has prepared more for this year's draft to go get their guy at quarterback than the Miami Dolphins. But they're sitting at five. And you've got a team in Cincinnati at one, and then a team in Detroit at three. What are you going to do? So we were playing chicken the whole time. We want to get all the medical reports on Tua. We want to know all the information we can possibly have. But when are we going to pull the trigger? And what happens if a team like Carolina comes charging up, or the Chargers for that matter, comes, you know, charging up to go take that number two or number three spot from us if we're the Dolphins? So I think it's fascinating. If you're the Dolphins, if you're Tom Garfinkel, the CEO, if you're Chris Greer, the general manager, when do you pull the trigger on moving up to go get your guy at quarterback when all along they've known that they love Tua Tagovailoa? They know that they've loved him. They're saying Justin Herbert now to try to, you know, send other teams away and make
it's
sure other teams
season.
Don't come up. It is lying season. But to me, you got to pull the trigger early. And unfortunately, you might wind up moving up to three and you don't get your guy, or you get a guy that's injured. But you've got to take a chance on this. It's too important.
Todd McShay with us. Well, look, no one is more prepared, as you alluded to. Not only they have three first round picks, so they can essentially do whatever they want. They can do something like the Bears did a couple of years ago and use that capital to move up one to get Trubisky. Hindsight, not so great, because behind him obviously was Patrick Mahomes and then Deshaun Watson. And then we get to the volume. You know, it seems like more and more we're getting more quarterbacks taken in the first round. Do you think there's a potential for five quarterbacks to go in the first round?
I think four will likely go in the first round.
And those four will be Tua, Burrow, Jordan Love, and Justin Herbert, right?
Exactly.
So then we get
exactly.
into the swing state votes of Eason and Fromm, which is interesting because they're tied together.
Right. Jacob Eason is the more physically gifted. Jake Fromm is one of the most intelligent quarterbacks I've ever sat down and met with for an hour. I mean, I've never been more impressed by a quarterback. And Brian Griese, who's one of the most intelligent quarterback evaluators I've ever been around, and I work with him with Steve Levy on our Saturday coverage. We walked out of that meeting with Fromm, and we were just looking at each other saying, wow. You know, that was impressive. And it just, he has an understanding of the game that very few quarterbacks at the college level do. Now, he's limited. He can't throw vertically. He doesn't have a big arm. He's not overly mobile. Jacob Eason isn't overly mobile, but he has a huge arm. He's big. He's strong. He's got all the physical traits. But why is it that all these five-star quarterbacks transferred out of Georgia and Fromm just wound up staying there, winning the job every year and winning championships, whether it was, you know, SEC East, SEC, going to the college football, you know, Final Four. So he just, all he did was win, and he always played at a very high level, even when receivers were dropping the ball and all those sorts of things. I'd love to see him in a place where maybe like the NFC South, where it's domes, good weather, and he doesn't have to have that big arm playing in, you know, the AFC East or the AFC North. To me, he belongs in a good weather climate inside of domes. But I think Jake Fromm's going to wind up surprising a lot of people at the next level.
Todd, kind of quick on this one to end it up. We're up against it. Another quarterback in the news, Jalen Hurts. When will we stop asking, will they play another position? Jalen Hurts said he wants to play quarterback. What is Jalen Hurts' biggest upside, and what does it look like for him in the draft?
He's a quarterback. I mean, he's not a freak athlete. He's not Lamar Jackson in terms of freak athleticism. And Lamar's been able to take that and develop that as a quarterback. Jalen Hurts, to me, is a backup quarterback who's going to come in. He's going to work hard. He's going to be great in the quarterback room. He's going to be a guy that if your starter goes down, eventually he's going to be able to take over and help you win a game. And that's it. I don't see him playing any other position. Jalen Hurts is a quarterback. He wants to play quarterback, and physically that's what he does best. He's not going to be a returner or receiver or anything else. Hurts is going to be a backup quarterback in the NFL, and I think he's going to do it for a long time.
All right, Todd, thanks, buddy. We'll see you. I'll get there Friday, and we'll be part of our ABC show 5
Safe
to 6
travels,
Saturday on ABC. Thanks, can't wait,
thanks,
buddy.
Todd.
I'll bring you some suntan lotion.
Man, you guys got
we got tunnels. We'll
whole
be inside.
A lot of sarcasm going with you two.
It's Todd McShay. Wow. What do you expect? Todd. All right. So we'll get there, and the Combine show again will be Saturday, 5 to 6 Eastern on ABC. What do we got next? Oh, yeah. We're going to go back
yes,
to
we are.
Either, neither, both, because there are some interesting things we got to get to.